Okay, go. Okay, turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Listening to the class this week, and I had to do a makeup for a lady, so I got to listen to a session twice, and it's the one where he teaches about the fig trees and how Jesus Christ walked past the fig tree and he curses it and it dies from the roots first. And, trees usually die from the top down. But there is a principle in life and it has to do with growing. We're either growing or we're shrinking. Unfortunately, I'm on the downside. But it's true in anything. You know, businesses grow or nothing stays the same. Life is dynamic. That's really what dynamic is all about. It's in motion. It's moving. It's doing something. And our lives are dynamic. We're either growing or shrinking in different areas. If you're a tradesman or an artisan, you should be always learning, right? You get better at what you do. If you're a doctor, hopefully, you practice. Practice makes perfect, I guess. Anyway, so there's a lot in God's Word about growing and about what we are to do to grow and what areas we are to grow. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning." A wise man will hear and increase learning. And increase means to grow. That's what that word means there. He will grow in his learning, a wise man. Now you would think, if you're wise, why would you have to increase? Well, because it's a good thing to do. You never know enough. You never know everything. It's impossible, isn't it, to know everything? We raise 4 kids, and we learned something about raising each and every one of them. And, after you raise 1 or 2, you think, I got it down now. No, you don't. You never get it down. Even when they're grown, I'm learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and an interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, the respect of God, the Lord there is Jehovah. The fear, the respect, the great awe of God is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Who here aspires to be a fool? Nobody wants to be a fool, do they?
I don't have to aspire to.
Yeah, sometimes we are foolish, but we don't want to be foolish. But fools despise wisdom and knowledge. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. So that's a pretty good instruction. We see here a wise man is juxtaposed to a fool. They're opposites. They're in total contrast to one another. They're at opposite ends of the spectrum. So we are either growing in our walk with God or we're in a state of atrophy. I like that word. Atrophy is an interesting word. Atrophy occurs because of poor nourishment or disuse. If you ever break a leg or an arm or something, and it's in a cast for a period of time, it atrophies, it shrinks. It gets in a period of decay because it's not used. So it's either poor nourishment or disuse. To grow spiritually, we need a good spiritual diet, and we need to exercise. We need healthy spiritual exercise. We need to use our minds and our spirit. So the two things we need to do to grow is we need to continue to grow in our knowledge of God's Word, and we need to put it to use. We need to pray. We need to practice the principles of God. We need to practice what the Word says day by day. That's how we grow and get stronger in the Word. Let's go to Proverbs 9. In verse 9, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So the beginning of knowledge is a fear of God, and the beginning of wisdom is fear of God. You know, having God in great awe and respect. And of course, wisdom is knowledge applied. You know, there are lots of people that have lots of knowledge, but they're not very wise. They don't use that wisdom properly. It's the proper use of knowledge. That's wisdom. Knowing what to do and how to do and when to do things. So that's pretty great. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 24. You notice here that the word increase is used in the Old Testament, and it means to grow. It means to increase. Can mean to abound, even. Chapter 24, verse 5, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth his strength. He wants to grow that strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. You know, we don't think of mischievous as a bad thing today or any big deal, but in the Bible it's used in a pretty negative sense. It's not a good thing. The thought of the foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall not he rend it to every man according to his works? And it goes on and on. You know, we are to aspire, we are to work at growing in our knowledge and in our wisdom, and that makes us strong. And you know, here he talks about, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. Well, you know, maybe in this case, Solomon was talking about, you know, war, but you know, we have our little wars or our little battles every day, don't we? In life, it's always a battle in our mind on what to do and how to do the right thing for God. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 2. So here we're going to look at a great example of growing, and that would be Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing to think that he grew in knowledge and wisdom and in God's word, but he did. We don't know a lot of details about his growth, but he did grow. Last couple of weeks, I've been reading David. I went through 1 and 2 Samuel and read about David and read some of the Psalms. And you can see that, you know, he starts out as a young boy, and he was definitely... had a strong belief and foundation in God and his word. So much so that when he went to face Goliath, he said, who is this unbeliever? But he had to grow and he had to learn, and he made mistakes. But he was willing to listen. He was meek when Nathan, who was the prophet during that time, and Nathan was around for years and years and years, because you see him early and you see him late in David's life, even when David dies, because he's the one that makes sure that Solomon gets on the throne. So anyway, people grow, and as you read through the Word, you see their growth. Samuel himself, you know, he was laying in bed, and he heard him, Samuel, he heard a voice. He got up, and he went to see Eli, and Eli said, go back to bed. Nobody's calling you. And he did that three times, and then Eli said, it's the Lord. Say, here I am, Lord, speak. And then he learned how to listen to God. He had to grow, didn't he? Okay, chapter 2 of Luke, verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. That's Mary and Joseph, and they took the infant back. And then it says in verse 40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He grew. Now, the word spirit is omitted in some of the Greek texts, but it is included in the Aramaic, so we believe it should be there. And it says, the child grew and waxed strong spiritually, is really what it was talking about, filled with wisdom. Verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And of course, the reason this would happen was they traveled in caravans. They traveled in large groups. And probably a large group of people from Nazareth would go down to Jerusalem together because there's safety in numbers. And in those days, they didn't have patrol cars riding along the highways and phones and all that other stuff. They had camels, and there wasn't any real law enforcement. So, you know, it was dangerous. So they were in this big group, and they thought he was with them, and he wasn't, and so they went back to Jerusalem. Verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. You know, they were concerned in concerned about his life. They didn't know what happened to him. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist or knew ye not that I must be about my father's business? Wist means know or knew. Didn't you know I was about my father's business? Speaking of him and his father God. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. He was subject unto his parents, meaning he obeyed them. They taught him. He listened to them. That's an important key there, isn't it? He was subject unto his parents. Throughout the Bible, it talks about obeying your parents. And the reason that we teach obeying parents is because then you can learn to obey God. He was subject to them. And then it says in verse 52, and Jesus increased. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So he continued to grow. He didn't just stagnate. He just didn't have it all at age 12, but he continued to grow in his wisdom and his stature. It's pretty great. So if Jesus Christ needed to grow, would not we need to grow? We would, and we do. Let's go to 1 Peter. Back of the Bible, Hebrews, James, Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 2. Okay, chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice. Now, Peter is addressed to Hebrew believers, people that were of Jewish origins, background, but they had been born again. But we can take this, it's not necessarily addressed to us, but is it true of us Is it applicable to us, or can we apply it in our lives? Is it, you know, true of us, and can it be applied by us? So in this case, it can be, because he's going to make a general statement of principle here. He says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings," obviously all Christians should do that, right? Not just those of Jewish origins. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." So we are to desire, as newborn babes, the milk of the word. So it says here, that ye may grow. The word desire is earnestly desire or long for. Now, a young baby, when they're hungry, what do they long for?
Milk.
Milk, right? They really desire, they scream if you don't give it to them. Wah! And the word, it says, and the sincere milk of the word there is a form of the word logos. So what this says here is earnestly desire and long for the pure, unadulterated milk of the word. So that's what we're to desire, so that we can grow. And we can grow our whole lives in God's word. We can get better at it and better at it. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18, which is the last verse. And this is, it's not the salutation, it's the goodbye, whatever that's called. It says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, that's a pretty straightforward statement, isn't it? To grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To grow in grace can mean a lot of things, but part of it is you're understanding the grace that God bestowed upon you, and so therefore you would be gracious towards others. You know, you're not hard on others, you're not accusing others, you're not judgmental of others. But the more you understand how God has been gracious to you, how that even though you may have been the worst person on the face of the earth, just kidding. But, you know, we're all basically the same when we start out, aren't we? We're all of sin nature. We're all condemned to death unless we get born again. But God, in his great mercy and love, sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for all of us. We all got the same from God. We all got the same pardon. We all got the same grace. We all got the same Savior. We all got the same Holy Spirit. We all got the same sanctification. We all got the same justification. We all got the same everything. So God was gracious to each and every one of us and continues to be gracious towards each and every one of us. And therefore, we can grow in that grace, knowing, first of all, how much grace there is and how little we deserved it and how wonderful and loving God is, and being appreciative. And then number two, we can be gracious towards others. It's a pretty great thing to learn and understand. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And of course, we are to grow in that grace, and we are to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how could you grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? You'd have to read the word, wouldn't you? Yeah, you'd have to know what the word says, not just in the Gospels, but other places also. The epistles, maybe the Old Testament at times. There's great information about Jesus Christ. There's great promises concerning the Savior, the Messiah. There's great understanding in his life, in his walk. We just saw it in Luke. He grew spiritually. He grew in his life, in his favor with God and things like that. Okay, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "For this cause we do also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will," God's will, "in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So Paul here is writing to the believers at Colossae, the Colossians, and since he heard of their believing, he's praying for them, and his desire is that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So there's a lot there. When you're walking worthy, that means that you're putting it into practice, right? You're putting into practice what you know as to walk worthy of the Lord, which would be to live a godly life. And as you do that, you're pleasing and you're fruitful in every good work, and it will help you to increase in your knowledge of God. Because as you take knowledge and you apply it and you use it, it helps you to understand better. It just does. It's kind of like, you know, in anything. You know, you're cooking cakes, right? And you have the understanding of cooking cakes. And as you cook it, you understand why you're supposed to do certain things maybe, or how to do it better. You just, you know, as you apply knowledge, that knowledge becomes more clear in your mind. You understand it better. You see it more clearly. So that's an important thing. The basis of our growth is knowledge and wisdom of God and his word and Jesus Christ our Lord. If we want to grow, we have to become rooted and grounded in his word for sure, and we have to apply it every day. We have to take those principles and apply it. I remember one time somebody told me, and I had to think about it for a while, but life is principle. You know, as you live principles, you see God's word bear fruit in your life. If you don't practice the principles, you'll see all kinds of things happen. You know? But as you apply the principles of life in every aspect of life, then you see godly things come to pass. If you don't apply the godly principles of life in all aspects of life, those areas of life where you don't apply the principles, you'll have difficulties. So we want to put that word of God in our life, and we want to practice it. We want to grow in it. How do we grow in God's word? Well, we read God's word. We take classes. I was thinking today, you know, I have these women in this class I'm doing at Kippen Linders, and they all have graduate degrees. You know, they all think they're intellectually smart, and they are in that way. But they don't really see the greatness of the Word of God yet. Hopefully, they will. You know, so they think, well, I'll take this class and I'll know all this stuff. And we know, or most of us know, should know. I know that I could take the classes 100 times and still learn something. And that the depth of it is so great that it is, you know, I need to hear it over and over. I need to hear God's word and learn the principles and the basics to get it in my brain. And that it's easy to forget how the word interprets itself. You know, when I first got in the word, we were drilled in it. People that ran fellowship and the people that ran class, we were drilled in how the word interprets itself. You know, so that you just knew it. You could just rattle it off. So those things are important. So classes and fellowship and reading and listening to teachings and retemorizing the word, you know, putting it into your brain. That's how you become rooted and grounded in the word, and that's how you grow in it. You know, the deeper your roots, the more you can grow, to use an analogy. And then what else are we to do? We're to put it into action in our lives. We're to apply it in our lives. We're to use it day by day. You know, and that's how we stay strong. That's how we prevent atrophy spiritually. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. Is that right? 2 Thessalonians, sorry. I'm looking at the verse and it's not the right verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or as it is adequate, because that your faith, your believing, groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So he's commending these people in Thessalonica that their believing is growing exceedingly, meaning a lot, and their love is growing and abounding. You see? Whoops. That's okay. Feel sorry for the pen. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So here it talks about growing in our believing, which is putting the word into action, right? And in love, one toward another. Chapter 3, verse 10, it says, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your believing. Now God himself and our Father and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase or grow and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So here we are to increase and abound in our love one toward another. It means we are to grow in our love ones towards another. That's what we're to do. You know, in a marriage, your marriage should grow. It shouldn't get old and stale. It should grow. You know, it takes work. But it's, you know, you should be more in love and happier after 20 years than you were after 1 year. And certainly, usually, there's more to love. Took a second for you to catch that one. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. And we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, grow more and more in your love towards all the brethren. So we're to grow. We're to grow in God's word. We're to grow in our application of God's word, in our wisdom. We're to grow in our believing. We're to grow in knowledge. And we're to grow in our love one towards another. Pretty great. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to read it from Walter Cumming's book. And then we're going to close. This is the working translation. We're going to start in chapter 4. Verse 14, you can follow along in the King James and note the differences and all that stuff. It says in verse 14, this is so that we may no longer be infants, billow tossed and carried about by every wind of deceptive teaching of crafty men with their strategies of delusion. Wow, that's a mouthful. I almost couldn't get it out. So, you know, we're not to be any longer. See, it said in Peter, we're to be like infants to desire the sincere milk of the word to grow, but we're not to be as infants in that we're tricked and tossed about by every wind of doctrine. We're not to be deluded by men. In contrast, as we speak the truth in love, let us grow up in all ways in him who is the head, even Christ. We're to grow up in Christ. That's what we're to grow up in. Anyway, this is all in the context of the body of Christ, too. And, you know, the more mature you become, the less egocentric you become. The more you're aware of the world doesn't revolve around you. You know, babies, the world revolves around them, right? And little kids, and the older you get, the more you realize it's not just about me. And when you become really mature, you realize it's not about you at all. So, verse 16, from him the entire body, which is framed together and united by every joint of supply, causeth growth of the body by the measurable work of each single part for the edifying of itself in love. So as we participate in the body of Christ, we cause the body of Christ to grow and increase. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you walk no longer as Gentiles are indeed walking in the futility of their mind. You know, we're not to walk as natural man in the futility of their mind. And again, walk is how you live your life, right? It's how you, what you apply in your life, what you do, how you act. Who are darkened in the mind, who are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, which is because of the hardness of their heart. Now, of course, believers can have hardness of heart, can't they?
Yeah.
You can refuse to listen to the word. You can refuse to want to do the word. Right? But we need to be continually growing in God's word and in our application of God's word. Being without feeling, they gave themselves up to unbridled lust for the business of all uncleanness with greediness. Sounds pretty horrible. However, you did not learn about Christ in the matter, inasmuch as you heard of him and were taught about him, even as the truth is in Jesus, namely that you strip off the old man according to the former manner of life, which is corrupt according to deceptive cravings, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you clothe yourselves with the new man, which is created in accordance with God in justice and devotion to the truth. Isn't that cool? So, you know, we're to put off the old man. We're to take it off like you take off a dirty shirt. And we're to put on the new man. And we're to grow in the word of God. By speaking the truth in love, we grow up in Christ. And we're to be devoted to the truth. See? And when we're devoted to the truth, and that means to learning it and to applying it in your lives. And applying it within the body of Christ. You know, and as you do that, you grow. And we grow together. So growing is an important thing. And if you think, well, I took the class, I got it all down, I don't need to know anymore, or I have this down, I really got it, or I'm doing the Word of God, you just never do. There's always something to improve on. There's always something to learn. And you need to, because when you don't, you atrophy. You waste away. You shrink. You, instead of growing, you're going the opposite direction, because life is dynamic. You're never standing still. You're going one direction or the other. You're either going in a positive direction or you're going in a negative direction. So the exhortation of God's word is that we are to grow. We're to grow in wisdom, well, knowledge and wisdom. We're to grow in Christ, you know, which means, you know, all we are in Christ and what he made us and who we are and what we are. And we're to grow in love and believing. And we're to grow within the body of Christ. And that's where the real growth is, within the body of Christ. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and taking care of us. We thank you for what a great God you are, and that we're just so blessed to be a part of your family. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.